I mean, $3 million plus left. I don't know exactly what it is in Swiss francs.
But no longer in U.S. dollars?
No longer in U.S. dollars. Completely.
Right.
Dollar. Well, you know, remember I was with you last year, right? Every time I pick up the paper, I said, I like to see the dollar get stronger against the peso, right?
Right.
And you were getting irritated, right?
I was irritated because you're happy and we Filipinos are suffering, you know?
Yeah.
Because the dollars are getting stronger.
Yeah, and I felt a little bit like a hypocrite wanting the dollar to get stronger.
Right.
Now I want to see the dollar totally collapse.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Oh, for a change.
So, but I did this at a big sacrifice, Eugene.
You're doing this for your on your part.
Yeah.
Your contribution.
Yeah, my contribution, because with the dollars, I was getting about 6% a year interest.
Oh,
thanks, the Union Bank of Switzerland.
That's big, huh?
Yeah, but now the Swiss franc accounts and bonds, and they pay very little, like less than 3%.
Oh, that's a big sacrifice.
I'm losing over $100,000 a year.
Oh, that's too much losing, you know.
You have to put your money where your mouth is. Now I feel much better, completely out of the dollar, you know.
Good.
Yeah.
So that's good, Bobby. And then, other question here. Childhood life of Bobby. How ordinary it was. I don't know if you like to comment.
Well, it was ordinary up, you know, in some ways, but in other ways it wasn't so ordinary because I got good in chess, you know.
All right. Okay. Love life of Bobby, how colorful it is.
How colorful?
You don't have to answer, Bobby.
It's pretty colorful.
Okay. Maybe it can be even more colorful.
Yeah, even more colorful, yeah.
Okay, another Spassky another Fischer Spassky match?
Oh, I don't think so. First of all, I don't play chess, right? I play Fischer Random.
Right.
And, you know.
Well, yeah, Fischer Random, okay, we can touch before we go to the last question.
I mean, I have no objection to playing him, but I don't know if they would be much, you know, interested in more. Right.
Well, you're in good shape, I don't know, with Boris.
Yeah.
Anyway, touching on Fischer Random, a match between Lecco and Adams was held in Germany. And I think they played this Fischer Random, but active Fischer Random, or about 30 minutes average Fischer Random.
Yeah, I'm not sure about the speed. Are you sure of the speed?
Yeah, I think more or less, I'm quite sure, almost 100%. It's like, I think it's 25 minutes plus increment of 30 seconds per move, more or less. So, and I think that match is finished already, and Lecco won 4.5, 3.5.
Yeah. Well, I have mixed feelings about this match. First of all, I think it's good to promote Fischer Random chess, but on the other hand, I think they're trivializing it somewhat by playing at this fast speed.
In the beginning of its introduction.
Right. Later, of course, it can be played, but I don't think people are seeing just how beautiful a game it is.
Right.
Seeing the depth of the game because of this fast speed.
People, I know already the depth of the game, I know, but I know people in general, they don't know, you know. Right. So, yeah, I agree with you, Bobby. I think if this is, if there is a continuation of support or in introducing this game, it should be played in a longer time, yeah, Bobby?
Yeah. Longer time,
and more serious games, you know.
Yeah.
Right.
And also, I noticed in the newspaper here, they had the games. They didn't give them they didn't give the games a diagram at the beginning of the game.
This one, the newspaper the other day.
Yeah.
They should put diagram, no?
Right, because they gave the starting position, but in notation.
No good.
No good, because you cannot
replay the game in your mind.
In your head. You cannot visualize the starting position in your head and then follow the game, you see?
Right. Yeah. Okay, so while you're fixing that music, Bobby, last question. Some callers are asking, how long will Bobby stay in Manila? And how many times Bobby visited Manila?
I believe this is what, maybe my sixth or seventh time.
Yeah, a lot.
Yeah, altogether.
Yeah. Right. And how long will Bobby stay in Manila?
Well, at least a few more days.
Ah, okay. A few more days, okay. So
I'll be back soon.
The U.S.
don't put me in jail, you know.
But maybe by that time our government and the U.S. government prepared and, with the extradition treaty.
Yeah.
Anyway, Bobby, but even if that happens, well, no, I don't think. Anyway, we have many supporters here, Bobby, not only here but all over the world. Anyway, yeah. I remember earlier we were talking about the Rothschild, but now I'm just thinking, do you know any Rothschild, Bobby?
Yes, I do. Why don't we just play this song now? I think I got it queued up.
Okay.
And then we'll get into that.
Okay. What is the song?
That's coming up now. Shake, Shake, Shake.
Oh, that's rock and roll.
Yeah.
Why do you like that? Yeah. Is it set already? Why do you like that, Bobby? This shake.
It's your blood moving.
Oh, your blood moving.
Come on and shake the wine. Come on and find the wine. Get out there on the floor. Get on the floor. Come on, baby. Fly, baby. Come around now. When you begin to move.
I don't know the words as well, but
it
put me in a dancing groove. Drive me
You wouldn't know it, but I haven't.
Bobby, yeah, we left earlier because I recalled this about Rothschild.
Yes,
I'm wondering if you know any Rothschild.
Yeah, you know they say it's a very small world, right?
What does it mean, Rothschild?
Rothschild, the original Rothschild, as I explained, his real name was Mayor Amschel.
Uh-huh.
And he had a store, and he put up a red flag above his store. That was his symbol.
Uh-huh.
And red flag in German is Rothschild.
Uh-huh.
See?
That's
what Rothschild means, red flag.
Right.
So he changed his name to Rothschild. He became known as Rothschild.
Oh, I see.
And they're the richest family in the world. The original Rothschild was born in 1743 in Frankfurt.
No, it's not Bill Gates.
Bill Gates. Well, this is 250 years ago. Anyway, Bill Gates is not the richest man in the world. That's a joke. No, he's the Rothschilds have 1,000 times more money than him.
Really?
Oh, yeah. There is countless trillions of dollars.
Wow.
But, do I know a Rothschild? Yes, I do. I know, you know the Pierre Gorski tournament?
Oh,
This is Mrs. Gregor Piatigorsky.
You played in there, right?
Yeah, I played in one of her tournaments. Mrs. Gregor Piatigorsky is a Rothschild. Her father, you won't believe this, her father is this man in the secret world government that is a picture is right
now. Kidding.
Her
the woman who organized the Piatigorsky?
Autocrat of the world by choice of Satan and because of lawlessness. And that's her father.
Really?
And that is a fact. If you will go back to an old Sports Illustrated, you will read about that. She grew up, she's the sister of Guy Rothschild. I mean, actually, it's pronounced Guy Rothschild. Spelled G-Y.
Yeah.
Guy Rothschild, and he's considered, some people say he's the head of the entire Rothschild family. He may still be alive. He's maybe in his 90s. And I haven't heard that she died either. So she's also pushing 90 or so, if she's alive.
But during that time when you played in 66,
I heard somebody told me she's a Rothschild, but it didn't mean anything to me. You know, it didn't mean anything more to me than this Rockefeller or somebody like that, you know.
Right.
I didn't know that she was the daughter of the very top Rothschild in the world.
Oh, yeah.
You know. Yeah. So,
well,
I'll tell you something funny, I met her son there one time. He came over. We played some tennis at her house. She has her own tennis court. She lives in Brentwood, by the way. I mean, assuming she's still alive.
Yeah.
That's where OJ, you know.
Oh, OJ, yeah. OJ Simpson.
Yeah. Anyway, her son came around, and he spoke perfect English. I think he may have been, I don't know whether he was born in the States or not, but he spoke perfect English, like me, right? American accent, right?
Right, right.
But when he would talk to his mother, he would talk to her in English. But he would talk to her with some kind of English French accent. He'd say, "Yes, Mother dear." A kind of Jewish French accent when they would talk English. Can you imagine that? It gave me the creeps, the goosebumps, you know? Listen, he would switch to normal English, and he'd say, "Yes, Mother, I will do this for you." I don't know what makes them tick. They're very high class. I mean, they think they're very high class, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, you wanted me to touch on this found lost fish or games? What is this?
Oh, yeah. I just want to show, I mean, that lying is just so ordinary for the Jews about me, you know? This is from Inside Chess.
Yeah.
And
they keep on lying and lying.
Yeah, they have falsified
everything.
My game scores.
Right.
I found dozens and dozens. I'm sure they've already falsified many hundreds of my game scores. Many, many hundreds. But I found dozens. Just offhand, without even looking. Many dozens.
Uh-huh.
Okay. They have falsified my own notes, right?
Yeah.
And now they're falsifying the record even.
The what?
My record. My results.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. This is from Inside Chess, September 1995.
Yeah.
And it's an article, it's called, it says Chess History on top, The Unknown Bobby, Archaeological Finds. And they say here, During his stop in Venezuela, Bobby played in a 10-minute tournament, placing second to Spanish IM Antonio Medina. The cross table for the event appeared in Ocho y Ocho in 1994, page 44. And then they give a cross table here. And it gives, and Medina first with the, of course, this, he won all his games, and I won seven and lost two. This is totally false. I walked away with that tournament. I won it by several points. I don't remember whether it was a single or double round robin, but I do remember I played Nayar, and that was a key game. They don't even put Nayar in the crossing standing.
Do you remember
Nayar, he tried to cheat me. He played a very dirty trick.
He's gone, eh? He's gone.
Oh, yeah. What he did, I had easily won game.
Yeah.
I'm like a rook ahead or something, right?
Mm.
So he made a move, pushed my clock, and then he says, I resign. Right? Okay. So we're starting to discuss the game. And then half a minute later,
yeah,
when I've only got about 15, 10, 15 seconds left, I play. So, you know, nobody's around, you know. So I had to play, but I baited him just before I fell. I thought, oh, well. And then he protests, you cheat. I withdraw from the tournament. Just a crook. Absolute crook.
You didn't know you had that experience.
Yeah, he was a real bastard. You know, I heard another story about Nayar that this Quintero told me years ago. He came down to Argentina, I think, for the Olympics.
Right.
I think that was about 1938, no? Something like that.
The right time. I think he went to Argentina about the time.
Yeah.
Before the war.
Yeah. And he played in this Olympics, right, in Argentina.
Right.
And then the war broke out.
He stayed there.
And he stayed there.
Right.
And then he wanted to get his family out. His family, his wife and children, were still in Poland.
Right.
See, that's where he was from, Poland.
Right.
So they wanted to, supposedly, they wanted to buy their freedom from the Nazis, right? His wife and children's family, so they could come and live with him in Argentina, right?
Right.
So they had a lot of fundraising for him, and they raised a huge amount of money to send to the Nazis to get his wife and children out. And Quintero told me he gambled it away all in one night, Nayar.
What?
He gambled the money away one night after he got the money. So much for his love of his family. And I don't believe the story that his family was, you know, murdered by the Nazis either. I think that's all bunk.
You know,
it's more Jewish lies.
Yeah. Yeah, but anyway, I don't believe this could happen, this standing. Medina was ahead of you?
No way.
I mean, I played Medina before. I mean, he's no...
Well, according to the standing, he beat me, because he just used a little bit of logical analysis. That he won 9-0, right? And I lost two games, right?
That's no way.
So I had to lose to him, right? He won every game, and I lost two. I had to lose to him, right?
Yeah.
Totally false. I won this one by several points. Because if I didn't win it by several points, I would have remembered it, you know? My remembrance of this one was I was kind of embarrassed to play because it was so weak and so easy for me. And now it turns out years later, not only didn't I win it, I didn't walk away with the tournament, but I came second. Let me explain this lie. It's a very clever lie. It's worth studying because it shows how tricky and dirty the Jews are. They know it looks somewhat plausible. Why? Because just a few weeks before this event, this speed tournament in Caracas, I had a very bad result in a tournament in Buenos Aires, Argentina.
That means they're trying to show that you're still in bad shape.
Yeah, well, it's plausible. He was in bad form at that moment, you see? You see how dirty the Jews are, how filthy.
Yeah. Oh, how can we put a stop on this?
Well, that's what I'm doing now.
Right, right.
Truth. That's what how cherubs breathe, it says in the book. See, look up. That's the only antidote to the Jews, the Jewish lies.
The only way, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, how can they do this, no? Just, what if anybody will just write about your tournaments, and then they say, oh, you came out last? And then you... Anyway, Bobby, you want this one also from chess. I remember this we wanted to tackle this with Benjamin as a cover.